How are we doing on this momentous occasion? Lovely. Ed's not happy with his sound. I'm so sorry. Isn't that what I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to stop breathing, everybody. This will be a short message. It'll be a real short message if I have to stop breathing through my nose. So it's pretty cool what God is doing with streams. Amen? Amen? So today's message is a tricky message because it's going to probably be written down in your notes incorrectly, but that's okay. The title of the message is Responsibility. But if you write it wrong, you will miss the point. It's response-ability. What does that mean? What does responsibility mean? I know Pastor knows the answer, but he's not allowed to answer. It means suit up. Pastor suited up. Pastor suited up. Suit up. Has anybody ever watched the show, How I Met Your Mother? Anybody watch the show, How I Met Your Mother? Barney. He wears a suit all the time. He tries to encourage everybody else to suit up with him when they go on adventures. Challenge accepted. When we hear that, do we get excited? Do we get riled up? Do we get like ramped up and ready to go? Do we grab our suit out of the closet and go, all right, I'm ready for adventure. I'm going to suit up. I'm going to put my tie on, put my dress shirt on, put my suit jacket on, put my belt on. Do we do that? Do we get excited? What if Christ commanded us to suit up today? Would you wear a suit? This girl's too. They make suit jackets for girls, right? Sheena's looking good. Would we suit up? That's a good question. See, He has done great and many things for us. Amen? And we owe Him that wonderful thing that when He calls us and tells us to suit up, that we respond. Not only do we respond, but He's given us the ability to respond. So, if you could, turn to 1 Colossians. And guess what? We're going 1 Colossians. Colossians 1. Yeah, the first chapter of Colossians. Yeah, first chapter of Colossians. Yes. I have a special book that has like 5 Colossians. It's awesome. I have Maccabees too. I knew Ed would get a kick out of that one. Now here's the cool part about this. We are actually going to read the entire chapter. Because if you don't read this chapter in its entirety, you are going to miss it. It's a great book. It's a real good book. God's been beating me up with this book just literally for the past 2 months. Just this book. Just one book. So, what is it that we're going to discover? Well, hopefully, by the end of this message, what we will uncover is what God has equipped us with. Actually, what Christ has equipped us with. The reason He's equipped us and the purpose for which He's equipped us for. Now, a lot of people probably think they got this one nicked. Like, oh, I've heard this message before. I know where this is going. We've heard the equipment message before, right? What's your equipment? What's the equipment? I got the shield of faith. I got the sword of the spirit. My feet shod with... But that's the wrong book. I'm not in Ephesians. I'm in Colossians. Oops. Wrong. So what equipment could I possibly be talking about? Well, that's what we're going to learn about today. So, Colossians 1. I got to stop saying 1 Colossians. I'll get on it. Colossians 1, first couple verses. And I really think that a lot of people skip over these parts. The thanksgiving and prayer parts. Because these are letters, right? Paul's letters to Colossians, right? Let's read. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Streams. Wait a minute, it doesn't say that. It says Colossae. No, Streams. See, I learned. Pastor taught me a long time ago. When it says some other place or people or group, put you in it. This word's for you, right? It's personal. This is your book. You should write in it. Every time somebody's name pops up, put your name in it. Except for Christ. Don't replace his name. That's idol worship. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. So first thing we're going to note here is that he is talking to a group of people in Colossae that believe. Okay? Do we believe? Amen. All right, so that's us. So he's addressing us. Paul's talking to us from a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Thanksgiving and prayer. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace and all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras. I'm going to go with that. Our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience in joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. I know that's a lot, whole 14 verses, but there's a lot of equipment that was bestowed upon you in those 14 verses. Whole lot. So if you have a highlighter, a pen, underlining tool, writing tool, if you have your phone, you can do a little feature in there and highlight it in there. It's probably good things to highlight. The first thing he gives us is the gospel. Do we not have the gospel? What's the gospel? What's the gospel? Somebody's got to tell me. Come on. We have the gospel. What's the gospel? We have salvation through faith in Jesus Christ because he went to the cross and died for all mankind so that they can inherit the kingdom now and have eternal life thereafter. Is that not the gospel? Is that not what he's commanded us to go and preach? He didn't give us something else, although there are other churches out there that tell you there's something else. I'm telling you they're wrong. If they're not telling you that's the gospel, then you got wrong gospel. Because that's what it says right here. He's given it to you. Has he not given every single one of us who call on the name of Jesus Christ the gospel? What's your gospel? What's your gospel? What's your gospel? I didn't say his gospel. I said your gospel. What do you call it? Begins with a T. There you go. Your testimony, right? What is that for? Is it for you? Who's it for? It's for everybody else that doesn't know about the gospel message, right? So you've been equipped because, after all, he saved you from something. Did he not? If you didn't need to be saved, you wouldn't be saved. You'd be still walking around believing you're good and all things are go. But that's not what he's given us. He's given us his gospel, and he gives us a promise that goes along with the gospel, which, mind you, again, this is down the pike, but it should bear fruit. Ooh, what does that mean? So I have a gospel. He's given it to me, but I've also been given a chore to bear fruit. Guess what? You may not like this part, but that means that has to be physically illustrated in your life. Because fruit's physical, is it not? You don't go up to a metaphysical tree and wait for metaphysical fruit to fall off of it. Because you're going to be waiting a long time. What did Jesus do to the tree that didn't bear fruit? So you gotta go, you better be bearing fruit. That's all I got to say. Because if you're not, there's not a lot of good things that are going to come your way. That's not my word. That's his word. You have to bear fruit. Should has a pretense. You should bear fruit. That means he's given the provision for which you are to bear fruit. The only responsibility you have to it is to share it. That's it. But you've been equipped to do so because he's given you it. Right? What else did he give you? He gave you the knowledge of my will. Is that what it says in there? I think it's what it says. Read it. Read it again. It's my will. No, I'm sorry. Oh, wait. No, I'm sorry. It's pastor's will. It's not my church yet. It's pastor's church. Right? So it's his will. No? Whose will? God's will. Right? But he's given me the knowledge. He's equipped me with the knowledge of his will. Well, this is another one of those things. So I'm going to go back to the glories and the God, give me your knowledge. Because you're giving it to me, right? So give me your knowledge, Lord. He's given it to you already. He's written a whole bunch of books. Filled, packed, jammed, filled with all of his wonderful and glorious knowledge. It's not his fault that you don't use it. It's your fault. And then when you're not bearing fruit, guess what the reason is? Because you don't know how to bear fruit. You're not using it right. I'll give you a hint. If most people in this, you know, United States, we read from top of the page, left to right. Words and phrases form sentences. Nouns, verbs, adjectives. We have to read it. If you don't read it, and you just trust what comes out of my mouth or comes out of pastor's mouth, and that's your daily, or weekly, I should say, feeding of your knowledge of God, you have a bad knowledge of God. And guess what you're going to produce? You're going to produce bad fruit. But you've been equipped. Every single person here gets a Bible. If you don't have one, ask. You can get one. And if you don't have the money to buy a nice, you know, special Bible, ask. It's the church's responsibility to equip the saints. That's his job. Am I wrong? It's his job to provide the equipment. Christ has given it in abundance, but if you're missing this tool, part of your equipment, you need to ask for one. You'll get one. Don't worry. But you got to use it. He also gives us the ability to grow in the knowledge through his word. So that's how we grow. Does a baby tree produce fruit? No. So it has to mature. So when it matures, it bears fruit. So the only way you're going to bear fruit is when you mature. And the only way you can do that is by spending more time in the Word. What else does he give us? He gives us power for great endurance and patience. Ooh, I love this one. How many people have sat in pastor's office and talked about praying and, you know, patience and all this stuff, and then he says, well, wait, don't pray for patience. Don't pray for patience. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's not a good idea. That's not a good idea. You pray for patience if you need it. But he's given you the equipment, the power for it already. You shouldn't be praying for it. You've already been given it. You have it. You have endurance and you have patience because he's given you the power for both. That's what he said right here. You're praying for something you already have. Guess what it means? You lost it. Because you didn't take care of it in the first place. We're lazy. We are impatient people. Are we not? How many people don't want to do anything today? They just want to sit on their rear ends and watch the foosball games. But you got laundry and vacuuming and dishes in your sink. But, you know, you can get them tomorrow. If I'm lying, I'm dying. We are. Well, actually, we aren't. That's who we were. But we have equipment, power, that is actually given us the ability to not be lazy and to be able to endure when we have to. Are there tough times, Dan? Are there some pressing times when your patience is pressed real, real thin? Kids do that to you. Anybody who has kids knows, right? Everybody has kids knows. They will try your patience. Don't need to pray for more patience. You got to use the power that you have to be patient in those situations. You have the ability. He's given it to you. He's given us tons of equipment, guys. Paul's just outlining just some of the equipment, but this is some different equipment. This isn't the equipment we're used to. We're used to hearing about the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Yeah, that's your armor, but that's for something else. That's for battle. That's for waging war. That's what that's for. This is your everyday equipment. It's every day. Don't we die daily? Are we supposed to renew our minds daily? What are you renewing your mind with? Junk? TV? You're renewing your mind with that stuff? Well, you got stinking thinking. And we're going to talk more about that in a little bit. So this is all the equipment he's given us from these first 14 verses. Right? What's the reason he's given us this equipment? Well, the reason is because Christ is supreme. Say that with me. Christ is supreme. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Christ is supreme? What does supreme actually even mean? I mean, like, you can order supreme stuff at, like, Burger King or something, can't you? You can get, like, a supreme meal or something like that. Taco Bell, that's it, supreme. So does that mean Christ gets, like, you know, some, like, tomatoes and lettuce and sour cream on him? Is that what that means? It must be what it means. That's not what it means. That's not what it means. I'm pretty sure, I am actually pretty confident that's not what it means. So let's talk about this supreme. We're going to go right to 15 now, and we're going to read to 23. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, or by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through the death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a servant, and which I also have become a servant. I'm not Paul. Supremacy. What does that mean? Supreme means highest rank or authority, paramount, sovereign. Now, I've heard many people have fought this one key point here, but I'm pretty sure I won't get that fight here. Christ is God. Amen? Amen? Amen. Why can I say that with all full confidence? Because Christ is supreme. Right here. Christ is supreme. That means highest. Not one higher. Well, God's the Father. He's higher than Christ. No! He's supreme. Well, then, does that mean Christ is higher than God? No! I mean, Christ is God. That's proof that they are but one. But what about God's Spirit? Well, that's God's Spirit. It's part of God, is it not? So that means then the Holy Spirit is supreme. Yes? Amen. So Christ is supreme. God is supreme. The Holy Spirit is supreme. The Trinity is God. God is the Trinity. Amen. This is not hard to see. Okay? But again, this is the reason we have equipment. This is the reason. So what's all this for? Why is Paul going through this wonderful rendition of the supremacy of Christ? Explaining every single detail of where Christ is supreme. Anybody guess? Wanna know why? What do you think, Jen? You just shared a wonderful testimony up here. Do you know that has a lot to do with the reason why Christ is supreme? Were you a good Christian at that moment? No. Did you lose focus? If you knew Christ was supreme at that moment, would you behave differently? If he was the guy in the car, would you behave differently? Yeah, I bet you would. I bet you would. Yeah, awesome Christmas play. And Nolan was Christ, and he's sitting there commending the wonderful job that Pastor Jolly and Pastor's wife, Alicia and Caleb, have done, and they failed to even look and acknowledge that Christ was behind them. We lose focus. Even in good things that we do for God, we lose focus of how supreme God truly is. He's in everything. And if he's not, you got some repenting to do, which you did. Very good. Because he is in everything. He's in everything. Is he in this building right now as I speak? Yes, he is. So should you be cursing up a storm and talking bad about your best friend behind his back? No. Why? Because he's here. He hears you. Oh, and then you go, oh, well, I'll just go home. Well, okay, you can do that. Do you believe in Christ? Yes. Then guess where he's at too? He's waiting for you when you get home. So you shouldn't probably do it at home either. Well, what about at work? I can do that at work because, you know, my boss agitates me every day. Again, you're missing the point. He's there too. He's everywhere. Hence the term omnipresent. He's everywhere. So you can't run away from that fact. Paul's just illustrating it again for you because we are not easy people to keep focused. We are stubborn, stiff-necked people. We do it our way. I do what I want. So, where's this problem actually transpire, though? Where's it at? Where's the battle? It's up here. Didn't he say that? Didn't he say that? Once you were alienated from God, you were enemies in your minds. Our minds, stinking thinking, creates stinking living. So you have evil behavior because of the evil thoughts that enter in your mind. Why do you think he commands us to renew our minds daily through the washing of the word? Because this is actually going to get rid of stinking thinking. Did you know that, Jen? Did you know the more of this you know, the more you become like it? The more you recite it? There's a good word actually came out a long time ago. You should have a scripture for every year you've been saved. You should be able to recite it just like that. How hard is it? One scripture? For every year? How long have you been saved, Ken? 9 years? You know 9 scriptures off the top of your head? Better work on it. Because it's not hard. But the more you know it, the more it knows you. And the more it reveals Christ in you, who is the hope of glory. Amen? We catching this yet? Because of who Christ was, he was the only one that could reconcile us back to him. We know this. This isn't anything new. Right? Nobody else could have done what he did. Nobody. No one thing. But that doesn't diminish the human side. Do not diminish the human aspect of Christ, because you diminish his supremacy. Think about it. Because he's in all things, is he not? But because of that, because of everything that is outlined right there, it's reaffirming the gospel that we have. So, if you're dealing with somebody at work, and they're biting tooth and nail about your testimony, and well, you know, God might not have done that, you know, this, any other. But like, well, did you know God's in everything? Did you know God's right here, right now? He's in that cash register that you're working on. He's in that paper that you hand out, currency. Did you know that he's in all that? Did you know that every single dollar that you transact at that register actually belongs to him? Did you know that? They want to fight? Sure. You put up a fight. But the more you know this, the more you can refute every single thing they tell you. The more the gospel becomes real. So that's the reason. That is the reason. Here's the catch. The purpose. What is the purpose? The purpose is very, very simple. It's right here at the end of Colossians. To proclaim Christ and admonish and teach everyone with all wisdom, to present everyone fully mature in Christ. Where's that at? Let's find it. 24. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. So what's the purpose? We got all this wonderful equipment. He's shown us the reason for it. Now we have a purpose. And the purpose, not a porpoise, a purpose. A purpose is to do what? Last line, 28. Proclaim him. First, proclaim him. What does it mean to proclaim? Shout it from the rooftops. How many of you people actually tell people about Christ? That's not good. He's equipped you for it, did he not? He's given you the tools. He's showed you why it's so important that you do it, because he's supreme. He's around everywhere. All you got to do is say, what's up, you ever heard about Christ? Has anybody ever talked to you about him? Has anybody ever told you how cool he is? There used to be a shirt going around on the boardwalk, Christ my homeboy. Remember that? Each and every single one of us has been given the same set of equipment. What Dan has, Ken has, my dad has, Shima has, Nolan has, Ed has, but he keeps blowing it up. Thank God is so gracious, he keeps giving it back to him. The problem is not that we haven't been given the equipment. The problem is not that we have a reason for it. The problem is we don't respond. We've been equipped. Christ has equipped his saints to do that good work, which he has called each and every one of us to do. Many are called. Few are chosen. Did you ever wonder about that? What's he talking about? Why are only few chosen? Did you ever think because only a few respond? So I got a really cool object lesson here, because God showed this one to me. It's pretty cool. How many people have one of these cool little devices? Doesn't have to be this exact phone. We call these wonderful devices what, Daniel? A smartphone. It's so smart. It's SMRT smart. That's what it is. It's a smartphone. And man, do we love these little devices. Mini computers. But what is it really? When you break it right down to it, what's it actually? It's a phone. The actual equipment that you hold in your hand, if you have one, is a phone. And what is a phone for? Reach out and touch someone. I like that one. Or when somebody needs to reach out and touch you, you have the ability to answer the call. Love it. Preaching. Go ahead. When you're called, you answer it. Hello? What do you need? What can I do for you? What do we have, Bo? We have a problem. We have a failure to communicate. The reason we have a failure is not because the phone is not a phone. The problem is no. The problem actually is, and this is the point, we misuse the equipment. Now, we're going to take the same analogy. We're going to throw it all in, okay? We've all been given the equipment. We have the gospel, right? We have knowledge. We have the tool that provides us the ability to get more knowledge. We have a spirit. This wonderful device, about pretty sure everybody here who does have a smartphone probably has a cool app on it called a Bible, right? Put the Bible on your phone. Oh, that's pretty cool. Super Christian. I got a Bible on my phone. Yes. But you also probably have the NFL, and you have ESPN, and you have the Verizon television commercials, and you got, you know, YouTube, and you got Twitter and Facebook, and you got calendars, and you got, you know, Candy Crush, and, you know, I'm going to go old school. You maybe got Pong on your phone for some of you old timers in here. Reminisce back in the day. But the problem is not these wonderful apps that we put on our phone. Because like I just said, some of them are good. Yeah, you might even have a concordance on your phone. Calendar's not necessarily a bad thing, is it? Yeah, helps you schedule. You know, a clock. I mean, these are kind of cool, important features that are on this phone, right? Well, that's not the problem. The problem isn't that. The problem is we let them burn up our battery. Because they run in the back. Do they not? And then when that wonderful, convenient time comes that somebody actually needs you, pick up the phone and go, I need to call Sheem. Right to Sheem's voicemail. Why? Because Sheem's battery's dead. Because she let these things run in the background all day. In that important time, when she was called, she missed the call. How true of each and every single one of us. Phone's not so smart anymore, is it? It's just a phone. It should be used as a phone. Yeah, apps are cool. Games are fun. But you know what? Kill them. Conserve your battery power. Try not to use them. Because you never know when that time's going to come that he calls you. And calls you for a responsibility that you have. Because he's given you the equipment. He's given you the plan. He's laid it all out. He's done the groundwork for you. But you have a ability now to respond. And it's your job to respond. Because you call in the name of Jesus Christ. Each and every single one of us have the ability to respond, but we also have the responsibility to respond. See, it's one thing to actually think that, okay, well, I got this wonderful equipment, let me use it for me and my good pleasure. But that's not who it's for. You didn't get saved for you. If you think you got saved for yourself, You got it all backwards. You got it wrong. You did not get saved for you. Ken, you got saved so your family could get saved. You believe that? You should. Your salvation led to your family's salvation, led to Jen's salvation. Draw the line. Nolan's salvation led to Sean's salvation, which led to my salvation through Steve. Draw the line. Each and every baker that occupied this church led to his salvation. Sort of. We're not going to cross lines. Yeah, salvation-ish. He knew about him, but he didn't really know about him until he got here. Draw the line. Where does it come from? Where does it go? Streams of life flow, and they reach out to all ends, but they come from one source. Right? One source. But there's a line, and if you draw it, you'll see that your salvation wasn't for you. It's for somebody else. That's our responsibility. And your ability to respond has been given to you. So there are no excuses in the kingdom of God. No man, no woman, no child should have any excuses to why they cannot share the gospel, because they are the living testimony of what that is. You walk and talk and breathe this every single day of your life. So what's your excuse? Your excuse is that you use it selfishly. You squander it. Call it as I see them. You can argue with me. That's fine. You can come up here. You can punch me in the face. I'm all right with that too. It's cool. If you want to let it out, get it out of your system, I'm good with it. But as long as you go out there and you share the gospel when you're done, then it's all for right. The test here is this, and I'm going to throw the challenge out. I'm going to throw the challenge. Throwing the gauntlet down, everything you call it, whatever. I challenge each and every one of you. Why don't you ask God? Why don't you ask God two wonderful questions? Really easy ones. What is your plan and purpose for me? And two, who do you want me to share it with? Because after all, that's your responsibility. He's given you the equipment. The problem is we never go and ask. We never ask. We think we got it. We think we got it all covered. We got all our stuff, figured out. My life is planned. I figured it out a long time ago. The more I try to do it my way, the more mess I gotta clean up. Because it never works out. It might even work out for a while. I could have it running. I could have like 12 plates spinning at the same time. Like got them all like this, balancing around, going crazy. But guess what happens eventually? They all fall. And now I gotta sweep them all up. I wasn't meant to juggle plates. I was meant to saw a lady in two. That's what my job was. I meant to juggle chainsaws. What are you supposed to do? Seriously. I mean, I think there's not a whole bunch of people here that actually want to go to God and ask Him, what's your plan for me? Because you're afraid. Why? Why are you afraid? That's my question. That's my question. Why are you afraid? Don't be. He's awesome. He got you figured out a long time ago. Nolan, you prayed it today. He knew you before you even born. He planned you all out. The problem is he's waiting for you to just say, what's the plan? So I can actually get on board. He's not going to go against your will. Do you know this? He's not going to use you involuntarily. He's not a puppet master. Okay? Just making it clear. He doesn't just supernaturally control people. We're not robots. You have a brain. You have a heart. You have a will and a mind and emotions, all wrapped into one. They're yours. The problem isn't him. The problem's us. Because we just want to do it our way. And we really don't want to go and ask God. But I can guarantee you this. I'll give you some promises. Dan, you can correct me if I'm wrong. When you're lined up with God, he takes care of every single aspect of your life. You got financial problems? Done. You got health issues? Done. You got problems with your household, your husband, whatever? Done. He's coming soon, don't worry. The more you line up, he ain't got a chance. Ain't got a chance. We're on his track, and we're doing what he wants us to do. Everything else falls in line. That's a promise. So if you want to continue to pray for God to, oh, God, I need you to work out my job situation. God, I really need you to work out my finances. I'm really tight. God, I really need you to work on healing me because I've been sick every single day for the past 2 months. You can keep praying. I'm telling you, he hears you, but you're not praying right. Stop praying for yourself. Pray for what he wants. Ask him what he wants to use you for. And guess what? He'll go, remember all that crap you were praying for? Done. Just like that. One day is like 1,000 years elsewhere, right? What would take normally us for a couple of years to fix our indebtedness, he can wipe away in 2 seconds. Oh, what's that? A whole bag of money just fell on your back porch? How'd that happen? I don't know, but I heard praise reports of that happening before. That is not new. That's not new for God. That's not new. Money has fallen out of the sky, landed in people's backyards, and it was unclaimed. They don't know where it came from. The government couldn't even go, oh, wait, are they unmarked? Maybe they fell out of a federal plane. No. Nobody knew. It just magically just happened. It's not magic. It's God. That person, I guarantee you, want to know what they did? They stopped getting on their knees and praying for themselves and Aunt Susie and their doctors and all this crap, and they actually said, God, what do you want to use me for today? Look. $8,000 just magically appeared on my back door. But I'm going to go do what you asked me to do. Because you're faithful. And he is. Always. Every single time. And guess what that does? When you obey and follow God, you know what he does? He does that. But it's not because he loves us. He does love you. He wants to take care of you. That's his job. That's what dads do. But guess what else it just did? It gave you more ammo. It gave you more equipment. Because now you can tell everybody, I just went and I prayed for God to show me what he had for my life and what he wanted me to start doing in my life. And I started doing it, and God just made money appear in my backyard out of thin air. Guess what that does? You want to know what that does for people that don't believe in God? It changes them quickly. They go, what do I need to do to know Jesus Christ? Because I want $8,000 to pop up in my backyard. You believe me? You think I'm kidding? How do you think Christ had so many followers? It wasn't because he talked a good message. He showed them. And what did he do? What did he do? He did only what the Father revealed to him. If he's obedient to it, why in the heck aren't we? I rest my case. It's our job. It's our responsibility to actually respond to his call. Amen? Father God, we just thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for giving us this equipment, God, for preparing us, God, that you've given us every single tool, every single aspect of our life, God, is given up to you, God. And Lord, we just ask, God, that you would just show people, God, show your people today, God, not just here at Streams, God, but just worldwide, God, of what your purpose and your plan for their life is, God. God, that they would be convicted to just pray, that you would show that and reveal that to them, God. And that, Lord, you would be faithful to show it. And God, that you would be continuous, ever-present, God, to take care of every single need from then, from henceforth, God. Because you are a great and mighty God, and you've taken care of every single one of our needs at Streams, God. And you've shown yourself faithful time and time again, God. The fact that we are in this building, God, is just a testimony of how faithful and true you are to us, God. So we just give it to you, God. We dedicate it to you, God. And we just thank you, Lord. And we ask that you just continue to just show us, God, our responsibility. In Jesus' name, amen. Sorry.